Good morning, West Michigan, and welcome to Grand Rapids Daily. I am your host, A. And I am B. It is Thursday, April 30th. We have got a packed show today, looking at some major shifts in city zoning and a brand new approach to mental health crises in Kent County. But first, let us talk about the chill in the air.
Yeah, if you are stepping out the door right now, you will definitely want to grab a coat. It is currently sitting at 35 degrees here in Grand Rapids, but with that heavy 93% humidity, it actually feels closer to 32. We are seeing scattered clouds this morning, and the wind is relatively calm at about 4 miles per hour out of the west-southwest.
We will see a bit of a warm-up as the day goes on, though it is a slow climb. By noon, we should be around 35, and we will finally hit a high of 51 degrees by 9 p.m. tonight under broken clouds. So it is typical late April weather for West Michigan, teasing us with spring, but holding on to that winter bite.
Exactly. And looking ahead to tomorrow, it is going to drop back down overnight, hitting a low of 33 degrees by 9 a.m. Friday. We are also tracking a 20% chance of light rain rolling in by Friday afternoon around 3 p.m., so keep an umbrella handy if you're heading out for late lunch or early weekend plans.
Definitely. It is that specific time of year where you need sunglasses, an umbrella, and a winter coat all sitting in the passenger seat of your car. Let's get into the news.
Let us dive into our first story today. The Grand Rapids City Commission has officially approved a sweeping new affordable housing zoning plan, and it is a move that is going to significantly reshape how and where housing is built across the city.
This has been a long time coming. We have talked extensively on this podcast about the severe housing crunch in West Michigan. Recent studies have shown Kent County is short by something like 10,000 to 15,000 housing units, depending on whose numbers you are looking at. This new zoning ordinance is the city's most aggressive attempt yet to close that gap.
The core of this new plan revolves around increasing density in residential neighborhoods that were previously zoned strictly for single-family homes. The biggest headline here is the by-right approval of accessory dwelling units, commonly known as ADUs.
Right. For those unfamiliar, ADUs are sometimes called granny flats or in-law suites. They can be an apartment built over a detached garage, a tiny home in a backyard, or a converted basement with its own entrance. Previously, getting approval to build one of these in Grand Rapids was a massive bureaucratic hurdle. You had to go through special use hearings, notify all your neighbors, and often face heavy pushback.
Now, under this new ordinance, if your property meets certain baseline criteria for size and setbacks, you can build an ADU by right. This means you just pull the standard building permits without needing a special planning commission hearing. Proponents argue this is the fastest way to add missing middle housing to the market without radically altering the footprint of existing neighborhoods.
But it certainly was not a unanimous decision. The commission passed this on a 5-2 vote, and the public comment sessions leading up to this final vote were incredibly heated. Critics, particularly from some of the more established neighborhood associations like Heritage Hill and the areas bordering East Grand Rapids, have raised serious concerns.
Yeah, the main arguments against the plan focus on neighborhood character, infrastructure strain, and, unsurprisingly, parking. The new ordinance actually eliminates parking minimums for these new ADUs. So if a homeowner adds a backyard apartment, they are not legally required to pour a new driveway or provide an off-street parking spot for that tenant. And that is the primary sticking point for a lot of residents. They argue that streets in older Grand Rapids neighborhoods are already deeply congested, especially in the winter when snowbanks narrow the roads down to a single lane. Adding more residents without requiring parking could turn that congestion into a real safety hazard for emergency vehicles. The city planners, however, pushed back on that narrative during the commission meeting. They cited data from other mid-sized cities like Minneapolis and Portland that have implemented similar zoning reforms over the last decade. The data generally shows that ADU uptake is slow and steady. It does not happen all at once. So the fear of a sudden influx of hundreds of cars overnight might be overstated.
Plus, the city is actively trying to encourage more reliance on public transit, specifically the rapid, and non-motorized transport like cycling. By not mandating parking, they argue it lowers the cost of building an ADU by tens of thousands of dollars, making it much more financially feasible for average homeowners to actually construct them.
It is a classic urban planning debate. Do you prioritize the immediate convenience of current residents, or do you make structural changes to accommodate future growth and lower overall housing costs? The commission ultimately decided that the housing crisis was simply too acute to ignore.
Another interesting facet of this plan is the incentives for developers to include deeply affordable units in larger multifamily projects. If a developer sets aside 20% of their units for individuals making below 60% of the area median income, they get bonuses on building height and overall density. That is a crucial detail, because just building more market-rate luxury housing does not immediately help those who are being priced out of the city entirely right now. The hope is that these density bonuses will make the math work for developers to actually subsidize those lower-rent units without needing direct public funds. It will be fascinating to watch how this plays out over the next few years. Will we see boom in backyard cottages in Alger Heights? Will developers take advantage of the density bonuses downtown? The policy is set, but the actual construction will depend on interest rates and construction costs, which are still stubbornly high.
Moving on to our next deep dive, Kent County is rolling out a new initiative aimed at fundamentally changing how emergency services handle mental health crises. The county has officially launched a co-response mental health crisis team. This represents a major shift in public safety strategy locally. Historically, if someone was experiencing a severe mental health episode and a family member called 911, the default response was to send armed police officers. While officers do receive crisis intervention training, they are fundamentally law enforcement professionals, not clinical therapists.
Right, and that dynamic has unfortunately led to escalated situations, unnecessary arrests, and sometimes tragic outcomes across the country. Kent County's new model pairs a specially trained paramedic or law enforcement officer with a licensed mental health clinician. They respond together in an unmarked vehicle to specific 911 calls that are flagged by dispatch as behavioral or mental health emergencies.
The pilot program is starting its rollout in Wyoming and Kentwood, which are two of the county's most populous suburbs. The primary goal is to stabilize the individual in crisis right there on the scene, rather than defaulting to an emergency room visit or a trip to the county jail.
According to the press release from the Kent County Health Department, the initial funding for this comes from a $1.5 million state grant, which is being supplemented by some local mental health millage dollars. It is enough to fully fund two response vans operating 16 hours a day, 7 days a week.
The diversion aspect is really the key metric here. Emergency rooms in Grand Rapids, like at Spectrum or Mercy Health, are often completely overwhelmed with psychiatric patients who end up waiting days for an inpatient bed. It is an incredibly inefficient and expensive way to deliver care, and it is a terrible environment for the patient's well-being.
Exactly. If the co-response team can de-escalate the situation in the person's living room, they can often connect the individual directly with outpatient services. They can schedule follow-up appointments with Network 180, which is the county's community mental health authority, or arrange transport to a dedicated crisis stabilization unit instead of the ER.
We have seen similar programs yield impressive results in other cities. The CAHOOTS program in Eugene, Oregon is often cited as the national gold standard, and Denver's STAR program has successfully diverted thousands of calls away from police without compromising public safety in the slightest. The police chiefs in both Wyoming and Kentwood have been incredibly vocal supporters of this pilot. They have noted that their officers currently spend a disproportionate amount of time on calls that are essentially public health issues. Freeing up police to focus on actual violent crime and property crime is a huge benefit from a traditional law enforcement perspective.
There are logistical challenges, though. Staffing is a massive hurdle. Finding licensed clinical social workers who are willing to ride in a van and respond to unpredictable, potentially volatile 911 calls is not easy. It requires a very specific skill set and temperament, and mental health professionals are already in exceptionally high demand in the private sector.
The county has acknowledged that recruitment took longer than expected, which actually delayed the launch by a few months. They had to offer highly competitive salaries and hazard pay to build the initial team and ensure they had the right people for the job.
The other looming question is long-term sustainability. The state grant covers the first 2 years of the pilot. After that, Kent County will need to find a way to absorb the operational cost into the regular budget, assuming the program proves successful and they want to expand it countywide.
Grand Rapids proper has its own separate initiatives, like the homeless outreach team. But integrating a true 911 co-response model across all jurisdictions in the county would be the ultimate goal. Dispatchers at the Kent County 911 Center have undergone specialized training over the last 6 months to identify the nuances in caller language to know exactly when to deploy this new team.
It is a compassionate and highly pragmatic approach to a problem that has plagued local governments for decades. We will certainly be following up with Network 180 in a few months to see the initial data on call diversions and patient outcomes.
All right, we have got just a little bit of time left on the clock, so let us hit a few more local stories real quick before we get out of here.
Sounds good to me. Let's get straight to the roundup.
First up, Grand Rapids Public Schools has officially announced the details for its annual summer meal program, which will provide free breakfast and lunch to all children under 18 starting in mid-June. This is such a vital community program. With food insecurity still a major issue in Kent County, ensuring kids have access to nutritious meals when school is out is absolutely critical. They will have over 30 pickup locations across the city.
It always sneaks up on you. It is really great to see the new organizing committee stabilizing the event after the rocky transition a couple of years ago. Artist registration officially opens next week.
Also on the local events front, Frederick Meyer Gardens and Sculpture Park is officially opening its highly anticipated seasonal butterfly exhibit tomorrow, featuring over 7,000 tropical butterflies in the main conservatory.
That is
always a massive draw for families across West Michigan. If you are planning to go this weekend, definitely buy your tickets online in advance, because the line to get into the conservatory will be out the door.
Finally, a quick heads up for downtown commuters. Significant road closures will begin next Thursday to accommodate the massive setup for the 49th annual Amway Riverbank Run.
Yeah. Monroe Avenue and several cross streets near Rosa Park Circle will be shut down entirely. If you work downtown, you will definitely want to map out an alternate route or just plan to work from home next Friday.
And that is going to do it for today's edition of Grand Rapids Daily. Thanks so much for starting your morning with us.
As always, you can find links to all the stories we covered today right there in our show notes. We will be back tomorrow with more local news, politics, and updates from across West Michigan.
Stay warm out there, Grand Rapids, and we will talk to you tomorrow.